My guest on the podcast today, I'm very excited about this one because it involves whiskey, and I like whiskey. My guest today is Darryl McNally. He is a master distiller. We're going to find out what that means. And the CEO of Limavady. Sorry, I keep pronouncing. I am not Irish, as you can tell. CEO of Limavady Single Barrel Whiskey. Coming to us live from... Darryl, where are you
I'm
located?
I'm actually right in Limavady, County Derry, in Ireland.
How cool is that? He's in Ireland. Are you at the distillery
no,
right now?
No, I'm just at home here, working from home at the minute. So yeah, looking forward to Christmas, looking forward to getting to speak with you, Jason. So yeah, talk all things Irish whiskey and all things Limavady Irish whiskey.
I love it. Here we go, Darryl. Well, let's you got a lot to talk about today. I think I've told you previously when we met for the first time that I've had a few guests on that are involved in whiskey and beer and such. It's always a fun conversation, such a light, fun conversation that people that do like to drink generally like to listen to. So here we go. So Darryl, let's start out and ask you about something that you nerd out about. So what's something that you really nerd out about?
That's a tough question, but probably nerd out. I remember years and years and years ago, I was able to tell what type of cars by their alloys or by their hubcaps, which was quite a strange thing as a young fella growing up. I was able to say, well, that car is a Ford Capri or a Ford Escort just by the type of it. I knew what size and engine it had by the hubcaps or by the alloys, which is quite a sort of strange sort of hobby to have. So, yeah, nerd out a little bit about that. I'm a huge motorsport fan, motorbike fan. So, I enjoy all things motorsport.
Motorsports. That is something I don't know much about. I know a little bit about NASCAR. I'm not really a fan. I do want to go back to the hubcaps. That is a very unique thing. So if you saw me driving by and I had the stock alloy, you call them alloy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Alloys and hubcaps in the United, we call those hubcaps in the US. Or rims, we'll call them rims or hubcaps, right? Like, if I drove by and you knew I had the stock on, you might know what kind of car I was driving just by the hubcaps I had.
Correct, yeah.
But that's amazing.
A bit of a strange thing for a child, so I quite nerd out about it, yeah.
What? What's your favorite hubcaps? Like, if you were going to, like, so people go, like, what's your favorite classic car? What's your favorite classic hubcap and what car
well,
was it
I on? Actually it used to be always seemed to be like Fords, because Fords would have been sort of the family car when I was growing up back in sort of the late 70s.
Sure.
So there would have been the Ford Capri, for example, would have had really nice sort of the further up you went up. There was a 2.8 fuel injected Capri that had these beautiful alloy wheels, which they would have been my favorite. Yeah, I suppose the Capri coming along with it helped as well.
That's amazing. Wow. I've done over 150 episodes. Nobody has ever come anything close to hubcaps.
Which probably adds to the nerd.
That's a really interesting thing.
That probably adds to the nerd, but
it's good. Do you feel like you almost have a photographic memory for it, or is it something that you studied online as well?
I think,
and you just
the photographic memory during university and everything. I would have been able to take a picture of a situation and memorized it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing. All right, Darryl, what's something that is inside of your comfort zone? And you know that this is going to be outside of somebody else's.
I think numbers. My wife always jokes the pieces, is you always talk almost in numbers. It doesn't seem to be English. It's sort of counting on numbers or values and things like that. But I suppose coming from being a master distiller, everything's about the numbers and strengths and cut points and all that good stuff. So I think over the years, I'm almost programmed like a mathematical sort of statistician almost, where you're always counting the numbers, which is a bit weird. That's quite nerdy as well, but I suppose in my work, you need to have a memory and a good head for numbers sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. What happens when you're talking to somebody that numbers doesn't resonate
See,
like, they're not a numbers person, or they're just not their language.
You see them glazing over. My wife's one of them. She goes, I have not got an idea or a clue what you're talking about. So she laughs. She goes, Darryl, please speak in English. Put it down into English for me, please. Or land.
She's like, just tell me a story. Yeah. Paint me a picture. Give me an analogy or a metaphor. Not these binary numbers. That's funny.
So, but I'd ask my wife wouldn't know what her mortgage was or what her electricity bill is or gas bill was. So it's quite funny. So I'm just constantly talking in numbers, which is part and parcel of the job, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, you're at the end of the day, you're a chemist, correct. Right? Like that's actually what a distiller is. You're a chemist and a scientist.
Yeah.
What about the other side of that question? So something that is definitely outside of your comfort zone, you know, there's other people who it's in their comfort zone.
This is quite funny because I actually thought about this one. I thought, right, okay, that's a tough question. But I sort of put it down to my dislikes or what I don't feel comfortable with or almost what my fear is. So you'll love this because I live in the north coast of Ireland here, you know, lovely beaches, mightn't be the warmest water in the world because it's the Atlantic Ocean. But one of the things I sort of get a bit worried about is even walking in the beach or in the water, fish or anything like that drives me nuts. Anything that has four legs that's furry, small with a tail drives me absolutely up the walls as well. Yeah.
Really?
I would rather tackle it.
Like squirrels and.
No, more rats and mice probably drive. So I'd rather fight with a 15 stone American footballer before I would tackle a rat or a mouse, which is quite weird. So I feel a lot of. A lot of slagging from that over the years.
I'll bet you have. So. I read a stat once. I don't know if this is true. That almost anywhere in the world, you're no more than 30 feet away from a mouse.
Or a rat. Yeah, I've heard that.
Or a rat. Isn't that crazy to think? Yeah, they're everywhere. Well, you know, I'm in New York City. So rat, we have millions of rats. Yeah. And they come out at night. Especially in the parks and such. So I'm sure you have them in Dublin and Glasgow and London has a ton of rats, right? Like,
it's when they come up through the toilet, you know, they come up through the toilet bowl. Could you imagine that? Like they come up. That's scary.
Ooh, that's scary. Have you ever seen any rats or mice in the distillery?
No, well, we haven't built the distillery just yet. Jason, we're planning permission for it. But there used to always be the resident cat, for example, at Bushmills, you know, just to make sure with the amount of malted barley or barley coming in, you know, you need to have that resident cat there to make sure.
Oh God.
Get the mice and rats and stuff. Cause we always said somebody would have fed the distillery cat. We said, God's sake, don't feed the cat. Don't be making it too easy for them. Let them hunt.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. We're going to feed them, but we're going to allow them to hunt for their dinner, not give them actual
cat
food.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's interesting. Let's see, Daryl. What do I want to ask you next? Let's talk about speaking. So if I was to give you 5 minutes and you got to speak to the entire world about anything that you wanted to, anything at all, what would you talk to us all about? And what would you want us to do at the end of that speech?
Yeah, well, probably I would talk. I love sport. I love, you know, Formula One, motorbike race and things like that. But I suppose the thing that, you know, we're all here about Limavady Valley whiskey, but maybe more so, maybe in a wider scale, Irish whiskey, the history of Irish whiskey, you know, how we taught the world, because I always say the Irish are not famous for too much. You know, we laugh at ourselves, you know, we don't take life too serious. I always joke that, you know, that's Irish through and through. But the one thing that they are serious about is making a damn good Irish whiskey. So I think I'd have to talk for 5 minutes on Irish whiskey, the history of Irish whiskey, how we brought whiskey to the world. I know some of my Scottish cousins or American cousins might argue with that, but like it started in Ireland and we have something to be very proud of with exporting Irish whiskey. And I suppose what I would do, it would end with me having a nice glass of Limavady Irish whiskey. And I would put it up like this, Jason, I would toast you and I would say, here's four things Irish men love to do. Here's to cheating. Here's to stealing. Here's to fighting. And here's to drinking. If you're going to cheat, make sure you cheat death. If you're going to steal, make sure you steal your sweetheart's heart away. If you're going to fight for your buddies. And if you're going to drink Limavady Irish whiskey with me. Let's launch it.
I like it. You do it. So you do it. I mean, spoken like a true entrepreneur, you would give a commercial to the entire world and that would be great. I mean, I hope you have the production ready for that because people go, that makes a lot of sense. I want to ask you something about Irish whiskey before we go to the commercial break. What makes a good Irish whiskey?
I always say Irish whiskey, I'm a malt purist, so I love it to be 100% malted barley, because to me that's the creme de la creme, or the super premiumness is triple distilled Irish malt. Nimavati, what we do is we only mature in first fill bourbon cask. You get that maximum concentration of spicy vanilla flavors. Then with Nimavati, we finish in Pedro Jimenez, which is a really, really sweet sherry. And then each bottle is bottled individually with its own cask number, which just makes it super premium, because that bottle of Nimavati that you buy, nobody else can buy it. That's a one-off cask number and a one-off bottle number. Mm. So you're getting all those super premium things together. We just won 8th out of 20 in the Whiskey Advocate, which is like, oh my God, it's like the Oscars for whiskey. So I'm very proud of that, considering Nimavati's only been out since August last year. So yeah, that's what I would be doing.
What makes a bad whiskey?
A bad whiskey, I think, is something that's maybe too young, something that people just, you know, because it turns 3 years old, it can be called an Irish whiskey. Sometimes people, maybe other brands, may choose just to say, oh, it's 3 years in one day, let's put it in the bottle. You have to test it, try it, make sure that it's balanced. With Nimavati, I hope you have a bottle to try it, Jason, but with Nimavati, even at 92 proof, there's absolutely no burn. You have that lovely spicy vanilla, almost like chili on your tongue. And when you swallow, even at that 92 proof, there's no burn whatsoever. There's no heat. It's so balanced that it just makes drinking whiskey so, so easy.
So I just you said something there interesting. I'm getting some free education from you, Daryl, for myself and for the audience. You can't call it an Irish whiskey unless it's been aged for 3 years. Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
So before that, it doesn't taste good, or it's not recognized. Like, what is the 3 year limit?
So the technical file, it has to be in oak barrels of less than 700 liters for a minimum of 3 years before you can legally call it an Irish whiskey. Yeah.
Mm. So any bottle of Irish whiskey is going to be, has been sitting for a minimum of 3 years.
Yeah. So like a vodka or a so gin, you can make it straight away, and that, on that day you can drink it.
Yeah.
With whiskey, it has to go into its oak barrel, less than 700 litres for a minimum of 3 years before you can legally call it an Irish whiskey or a Scottish whiskey or so on and so forth.
Yeah. Is the same true with bourbon, which bourbon would be the American version of whiskey, I believe, is how the Kentucky bourbon.
I believe bourbon is only 2 years. I think you can call it a bourbon after 2 years. The difference being, or the main difference being, is that bourbons always has new American oak wood, so it's always brand new whiskey barrels or wooden barrels. Whereas in Ireland, we will buy those ex-bourbon barrels, if you like, from the US and ship them over to Ireland. So they'll have had one cycle of bourbon through them before we would put our spirit in, if you like, and start the process again.
So interesting. I think we're gonna cover more of this after the commercial break. So we're going to take that break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Talking to Cool People podcast is brought to you by Jason Frizzell Coaching. Jason works with amazing people who are looking to find and develop their passion and purpose and create their journey to wherever it is they want to go. Check us out at jasonfrizzell.com, Facebook, or on Instagram. Jason loves hearing from anyone who thinks it would be cool to connect, to be coached, or to be a guest on our show. Email him at podcast@jasonfrizzell.com or DM him on Facebook and Instagram. And now, back to some more amazing conversation on Talking to Cool People.
Daryl, we are back. So what else would you like us all to know about you?
Wow. So, I'm 48. I joke with people because when I told my dad when I was 21 that I was getting into the whiskey world, it was no surprise because I actually was born out of my mother straight to the family Irish bar. So it's sort of, if you like, the drink, the drinks industry was sort of running through the veins even at a young age. My dad used to laugh. I don't know how...
Wait, did you just say you were born at the
Not
bar?
Not at the bar, but brought to the bar after the hospital. So I was born straight and brought to the bar, So it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
And then I joined Bushmills in 1998. It's funny because my background's accountancy and corporate financial management, which got me a job into the procurement, if you like, of bottles and labels and caps and corks. I then did a project or two with Irish distillers, and I was asked, you know, what would be your ideal job? And I said, I'd love to be the next master distiller at Bushmills. And the production director at the time says, okay, that's your job. And it was like, well, And I never looked back from there. I was bitten by the bug of the process of making whiskey. I did a degree in distilling then as I worked at Bushmills, and became one of sort of three master distillers in Ireland before this sort of large renaissance of more and more Irish whiskey distilleries been built. Irish whiskey's on fire. It's double digit growth. You know, the main market being the US market.
Yeah.
With Limavady now, we're in 30 states. And just as of yesterday, we're in two more states. We're going into Idaho and Virginia, which is controlled states. So, yeah, we're going from strength to strength. We have a great partnership with Whistlepig, which is great. And as I say, we're so happy and we're shouting to the world that we got that eighth prize out of the top 20 whiskies in 2022.
Yeah.
That, you know, that to me makes it all worthwhile, Jason. It makes every flight in 2022, every delay at the airport, every, you know, everything that sort of you could see as being negative, just made everything so worthwhile. Yeah, I can end the year with a smile.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl. What is a master distiller? Yeah. What does that actually
master
mean?
Master distiller.
Those of us
we
who
always
know?
Say that it takes about 7 years to train as a master distiller, so you need to run your own distillery, if you like, for 7 years, whereby you. The buck stops with you, if you like. So if there's anything goes wrong, or for example, Bushmills, I was over a team of 34 people, 10 people in the distillery, 12 people who ran the warehouse and the disgorging units, two coopers, plus then the lab, etc., blending and vatting. So it's about running and managing a distillery of, you know, a fair size for a period of time. But as I say, it takes a lot of training and on the job training. So there's another master distiller who you'll almost follow day to day to learn the ropes. I joke with people, it took me 7 years to learn. There's other people who learned to be a master distiller in 7 weeks, and I know which one I would prefer to be drinking what whiskey anyway, put it like that.
Yeah. To become, so I'm thinking of this in the context of a sommelier.
Yes, correct.
Do you have to pass some sort of aptitude certification to use the title of master distiller?
Yeah, well, usually what we do is we make sure that you have that degree. There's a really good Institute of Brewing and Distilling, which would be like it's all over the world, but it's any brewers or distillers you join as a member, and you do your brewing exams or your distilling exams through them, which it sort of puts the academic, if you like, to the theory. And that's what we see as being very important. So you get those credentials or those qualification certificates, if you like, and that to me has proven that you know it both from an academic point of view, but you're also then running a distillery, you know, with a number of people for a number of years, which is really what people look for.
Yeah.
But it's quite interesting to be
amazing.
To be a master distiller, you need to be very good with numbers, which is great because, as we touched on earlier, I'm big into my numbers. Okay, the rats mice bit, let's leave park that bit. And then been able to deal with media as well. So we've been media trained, been able to step forward in a podcast, I guess, and talk and TV, radio and all that good stuff. My mother always said I had a face for radio anyway. That was a bit of a running joke, but you know, we have to have a wee laugh. So, you know, so you have to have all those good times.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. Yeah. I always joke about my brother, Jason. I said to him, my brother, I said, my mom did the morning sickness with you to after you were born.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thanks, Daryl. What's something you'd like to ask me that I can answer for you and for everybody listening?
Probably one of the questions I always like to ask people when I travel around the world, you know, do you like whiskey? What, you know, do you like Irish whiskey, Scotch whiskey, all of the above? Have you been to Ireland? Do you like Ireland? Is it somewhere you've visited before or want to visit? And what did you think of it? What did you think of Ireland? Or have you tried Limavady? Did we get you that bottle away to you yet? Have you tried it?
I'll answer all of those. And I'm going to answer them in order from shortest answer to longest answer. No, I've never been to Ireland. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have been to the UK, but I've never been to Ireland. Yes, I want to go to Ireland. It seems magical. Some of my family a long time ago is actually from Ireland. Good. So I'd like to go. We have Irish in our family lineage. Yes, I got the bottle. Yes, I tried the bottle. Delicious. It's amazing. Yeah. But it's very good. I'm with you. I don't like the burn. I have a sensitive throat. So alcohol that, like, I just don't like vodka and it always burns. Like, it didn't burn. It's just good. Yeah. What do I prefer? I like something that's good. So I'm less like, and I've had plenty of bourbon, plenty of scotch, plenty of whiskey. I don't actually really have a preference on the three of those. I think as long as it's good.
Good quality. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I do like. I'll tell you what I like. I like smoky. I like the flavor of smokiness in brown. And so if it's got some of that, I'm generally a fan. Like, and I'll give you an opposite example. Something I do not like is tequila at all. I just don't like the flavor of it. I don't kind of like the way it makes you feel if you have a couple of them, then and that if you have too many tequilas. Tequila's a whole nother thing, but if I'm gonna drink hard liquor, it's going to be scotch, bourbon, or whiskey. So that would be my answer to your questions. I think I missed a question that you asked me as well. Trying to think back. No, maybe I did answer all of them. No, I think I answered all of them. Yeah, it depends. Like I go to Nashville a lot for work, and Nashville's a great drinking town, both of, you know, very cheap stuff. And then there's also some really great, more higher end, like cigar bars that serve great whiskey. I don't know if you're distributing in Tennessee yet, but that's you know, it's a little bit of like bourbon country.
They say Nashville's a new Vegas.
Very good.
Nashville's a new Vegas too. They say it's quite fun. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. There's an area called South Broadway, and it's pretty much insane every single night.
Yeah.
But instead of Vegas and gambling, it's all country music bars.
Yeah, no, I'd love that.
Music. A lot of the country music stars have bars there. It's fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And it's a music town. You know, it's called Music Town USA. So if you go there, you're gonna like good music. You're gonna like partying. So yeah, just to go back on the Limavady, very good, very smooth. I wasn't aware of the whiskey advocate thing, but I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. It's very smooth. It's easy to drink. I generally like something on the rocks, just like I like something like with a little bit of rock, but I would drink it straight and it would not bother me. Some whiskeys, scotches and bourbons, like it just burns too much for me.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you like it. That's half the bottle.
Well, it's also really good. We're recording this a few days before Christmas here in this Christmas. And it's going to be really, really cold here on Saturday where I am. Like very cold, like 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Nothing better than some good whiskey on a day when it's cold. Just sit inside by the fireplace and have a glass. It's going to be really
definitely.
Good.
We're getting, excited. We're getting into that time of year where it's even beginning to get cold here in Ireland. So yeah, we enjoy lots of whiskey, hot toddies, etc. That's a big thing in
Hot
Christmas
toddies,
day.
Yes, absolutely.
Christmas Day, we always make a few hot toddies.
Yeah.
Maybe too early, you know, as we're preparing dinner. So we're looking forward to that. Spend some time.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah, we...
too early?
Yeah. In Ireland, we tend to... You can either go to midnight mass, if you like, or you go to early morning mass on Christmas Day.
Yep.
But then essentially what it is you stop in and give presents and you get a drink maybe from your neighbors. And it's just, it's a great time of year and great time to spend, especially with 2022, me traveling so much, I was like 145 days in the US.
Yeah.
So it's good to get home and spend some time with the family and, you know, rest up and recharge for 2023.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Daryl. So you spent a lot of time in the US over the last year. Was there any place in the US that you hadn't been to before that surprised you?
I think when I went to California, I had this huge expectation maybe of California. So it's sort of LA sort of and Hollywood sort of, I was a little bit, whoa, you know, this is walking down the streets and the streets maybe weren't as clean as I expected. Maybe I had this bubble, maybe there was this bubble or expectation that just burst, like, you know, that, whoa, you know, and I wasn't there that long, but it was just, it saddened me to see some of the homeless and, you know, things like that. I was expecting, you know, it to be just like the movies, maybe a little bit like that, but whoa. Sort of let me down at
that. Yeah, Hollywood specifically. It's like you watch, most of us get think of Hollywood as like, we watch the Oscars and there's the Chinese Man Theater and wow, this is so clean and gorgeous. And then you go there and there's, it's not really that nice. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when I don't know if you get the probably don't get the Thanksgiving Day parade, but they knew, you know, Macy's has the big Thanksgiving Day parade and they film a lot of it. And you're like, wow, this looks so nice and amazing. And then when you go to where that is, you're like, it's not, I mean, it's not bad, but it's not nice. But yeah, I agree with you. LA is a great town and it's got some amazing things to it. But it's just huge. It's also like 25 million people in the metro area now. And Hollywood is like actual the area in Hollywood is quite parts of it are quite seedy.
Yeah. Well, then as well as that in California, like San Diego, I was in San Diego and I thought, oh my God, that's amazing. I was in the Mammoth Mountains in California. Oh my God, that's to die for. You know, so it had so many beautiful, yeah, but then so many sad things as well, which sort of shocked me a little bit, sort of burst my bubble a little bit. But hey, that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. That's it. So Daryl, what are you passionate about?
Passionate. Well, apart from my family, you know, the way I'm passionate about Limavady, of course, as well, but also about owning your own brand. You know, that to me is something that I'm very proud of and special, but passionate, probably as well, just sort of your life decisions and you've only one lap of the track almost, Jason. So you need to make sure you have mm-hmm. good fun the one time round. So yeah, passionate about it, but I love soccer. I love motorsports, all things whiskey, of course. And travel, and by God, I got some chance to travel this year and see so many places in the US, which was just amazing. You know, it's icing on the cake almost for me.
Yeah, yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah,
yeah. What's the thing you're most proud of?
Well, part Limavady, my family. Very proud of my family. I have a daughter who came on board. Sadly, my wife's sister passed away a few years ago, and we adopted Ellie Mae because I only had one son, Connor, and. I used to joke with all my friends, you know, with only having a son, and you know, they had girls and stuff, and worried about girls growing up as, you know, that protective father. So I would always say, oh well, I've only Connor, you know, to worry about one son, and how much did they laugh when I adopted Ellie Mae and said, oh, I have my own daughter now, so I have to look after her and be that possessive father. So yeah, love my family, love the fact that my family want to get into the business. You know, I'm very proud about that and passionate that they want to sort of join me. My son's doing a business course and he would love to get into distilling and making whiskey someday too. So it's almost owning your own brand, Limavady, and handing it down through generations of McNally's to come and so on and so forth. So that makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah. What's the history of Limavady?
History of Limavady, it dates back to 1750. So it's arguably one of the oldest Irish whiskey distilleries in the world, sort of thing. My family owned it in 1880. So although I worked for all the big guys in the past, to actually bring Limavady back to life, to revitalize it, you know, claim it for my family again, the original distillery closed in 1912. And with my family owned it in 1880, I thought, hey, with me being a master distiller and my brother being a distiller, I wanted us to bring it back for the family. I was almost been haunted every night by the family, bring back Limavady, bring back Limavady. So to do that is it's a very proud and great moment for the family to bring that back to life, and to partner with, you know, a team like Whistle Pig, it's a dream come true. And as I say, loved every minute of it since I've started it.
Yeah, that's very cool. What's something you're afraid might actually be true?
Oh
about
God,
you?
Well, that's my wife would always say I'm a bit of a sort of micromanager. You know, I'm sort of. It's not a trust thing, but it's almost like a double check. Oh, are you sure that's done? Is it done right? You know, so she laughs. You know, you need to delegate more. You can't do it all yourself. So I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at it, but I tend to have to make sure everything is correct. My star sign, I'm a Virgo, so they always say it's a perfectionist almost, you know what I mean? So everything has to be done.
Yep. Yep.
Probably my way or you know, it's not right, you know. So my wife laughs at it. But she says I'm getting better. She has says I'm getting better with old age.
Yeah, I mean you're creating improvement, and if your wife is anything like my wife, your wife is right. So yeah.
Correct.
That's a good lesson learned. That's great. Well, it's good to improve because it also is as the master distiller, you need to I'm sure that you've realized that you spending time on some of these smaller things isn't actually good for the business either. Like what's the big things out promoting, talking, distribution and then allow and you probably learned this too. Hire good people.
Hire people
so you don't have to worry about the details.
Hire good people. You know, build nice relationships with people. That's what it's all about. And we have a great team at the Whistle Pig Limavady partnership. is fantastic. And you get to meet all the best distributors in each state in the U.S. And even in the last year, the amount of friends that you've made, you know, within the business is great. Like, you know, it's been a brilliant year.
Yeah. We're going to start to wrap up here, Daryl. I want to ask you kind of like life philosophy question. So how is it that you see the world?
I see the world sometimes as I say, maybe when we touch there on LA and Hollywood and whatnot, you know, the world can be cruel. You know, there's so many good things in the world, but you know, the war, you know, in Russia, and, you know, just you've only one lap of the track, and you should grab onto it with both hands and smile every day, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? So the world can be a cruel place, can be very ill divided. You know, so it's great. It's great, you know, it's great to sort of see the world and to see the people, but I think sit back sometimes and have a think about people maybe not as well off as yourself, maybe this time of year as well. You know, the price of fuels, etc. here at home, I don't know what it's like in the US. You know, I would try to, you know, put a bit of money into charity and stuff this time of year, you know, to try and get some old age pensioners or something that can either eat or be warm. You know, that breaks my heart. You know, the world can be cruel. So I think it's just about living your life every day and treating people the way you would want to be treated yourself, but also, you know, don't get caught up too much in, you know, the things that don't matter. And yeah, sit down with Limavady whiskey, yeah, and the whole world will feel better afterwards. Trust me.
Yeah, that. Unless you have an alcohol problem, then please don't do that.
An alcohol problem, don't do that. Take an iced water.
Yeah, take an iced water. And with that, I wanted to spend a couple minutes and talk about how people can try Limavady. Mm-hmm. You'd mentioned you're now in 32 states.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
32 states. So we won't go through the states today, but if somebody's like, I love whiskey, I've tried it, everybody should try it, and they want to get it, what's the best way to do so? And is there a website or something where people can go and find out, is this available in my area?
So the website's www.limavady.com. There's a great part of the website that people go on, have a look at it, tell a little bit more history and process of Limavady and all the highlights, etc. But there's a lovely store locator, so you can go in, depending wherever you are in the US, you can put in wherever you live, and it'll tell you where the nearest store is. And it was quite interesting the other day, there was friends of mine who live in Limavady, but they live in Torquay in Australia. And she messaged me, says, where can I get Limavady? Mm. Within 2 minutes, I'd contacted her Australian distributor and got her the address of the nearest off license. She was just blown away. So go onto the website, look up store locator, and you'll have a bottle of Limavady within 30 minutes if you really want to.
Yeah. So cool. Also, I have another question for you, Daryl. Sometimes I run into people and they want to get into the alcohol, beer, spirits business. Do you do any mentorship for people that are interested in that? Or would you be open to a conversation with somebody who says, hey, I'd like to talk about what do I need to know as I start out? Like your son, right? Your son is in a course right now. Is that something like if people wanted to reach out to you and just say hi or try a bottle, would you be open to that?
I get lots of emails through, you know, social media or through, you know, people reaching out on LinkedIn or something like that, you know, asking, hey, you know, my background's maybe like one of the main degrees, if you like, or university degrees is chemical engineering for distillers. And maybe somebody come on and say, hey, I've got a degree in chemical engineering. I really want to get into the drinks world. You know, could you give me a few points? I know you're busy, but if you get a chance, will you give me a few points? I love that because I would have loved somebody to have answered those questions for me when I was coming up through the ranks. So it might take me a day to get back to you, but I tend to try and answer, you know, all the questions at some point and help.
A whole day.
Maybe a whole day, yeah. Because I love that because
I'd say a whole day, that is really generous.
No, maybe not a whole day, but maybe not a whole day mentor them, but a whole day to get the email back to them.
They're like, hey, I'll buy 4 cases of Limavady. Would you spend some time? And you're like, yes, I will. Yes,
you got
me
for the next hour.
Yeah, that's awesome, Daryl. Well, love if we'd wrap up today with some words of wisdom from you and keep it short and sweet, something that would fit on an Instagram post or a Post-it note. What do you got for us?
I think I said them already. You've only one lap of the track, so make sure you enjoy every day the way you should. Another thing I would say, treat others the way you want to be treated yourself, and you can't go far wrong.
Yeah.
That's my
smile. I love that you only have one lap around the track. I just wish I could say it like you say it because it sounds so good enough.
As I say, smile as well. But I think in the whiskey world as well, you know, you sit and you have a whiskey and you know, don't take life too serious sometimes and just sip a Limavady whiskey and smile.
Yeah. Congratulations. Congratulations on the 8th place finish. That's amazing. Congratulations on all you're up to. I'm looking forward to seeing their bottles in the shelf, in the stores, and what's next for you all over there. And just congratulations. Looking forward to having you back on again. Maybe we can have you and your son Absolutely. Come back on when your son's in the business and talk about what that's like, family owned business. And wish you, the audience, everybody listening, a very happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you're doing. And please try Limbavati whiskey. It is very good. Thank you so much for being on today, Daryl.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Talking to Cool People with Jason Frizzell. If you enjoyed today's episode, please tell your friends. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and give us a shout out, or take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. If something from today's episode piqued your interest and you'd like to connect, email us at podcast@jasonfrizzell.com. We love hearing from our listeners because you're cool people too.